I've said this on more than one occasion, but let's start here. I'm going to kind of run through some of the stuff, so there's just a couple of scriptures we're actually going to take time to read, but I'm going to read some to you just out to speed the process up just a little bit. I've said this on other occasions, all of God's children's got troubles. I don't know if you have troubles today or not. If you don't, you probably will run into trouble before long, or I hope not, but one never knows, does one, what's going to happen. But with reference to that, Psalm 27 verse 5 says, "For in the day of trouble, He will conceal me in His tabernacle, and in the secret place of His tent, He will hide me. He will lift me up and put me on a rock." In the day of trouble, there is no promise in the Scripture that says we, even though we're His children and we are born again, will not run into trouble, or we won't have a day of trouble. We're going to have trouble, and we're going to have a day of trouble just because of where we're living right now. And I don't mean this particular area, but because we're in a world that has fallen and there are imperfections, accidents happen, disease happen, there's just all sorts of problems that happen, and some of them just happen, and others seem to be planned by other people. But in that day that you have trouble, trust in this, that He will conceal you. That means He will hide you away. There's another place that says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." That doesn't mean that there is no weapon that will be formed against you, but any weapon that is formed against you, it shall not prosper. We need to take the Word of God and stand on faith. It's not saying it won't be made. It's not saying we won't have trouble. But He's saying, on those days, when that happens, I will be there and I will conceal you in My tabernacle. A tabernacle is just a big word for tent. God will hide us in His tent, but it's His tent. It's not the tent that Israel had when Moses was traveling around and leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, but it's His tent in the sense of the heavenly tent. He's going to hide us in His tent, in that secret place. The secret place of His tent in the earthly tabernacle, it was the most holy of holy places on all the earth, actually, because His presence was there above the ark, above the mercy seat, and He says, "I will take you into that place." There's a place where Paul says, God has chosen Him to reveal a mystery, and that mystery, that secret, is Jesus Christ. And the people that trust in Him are going to be placed in Him. We're placed in Him, and that is the most secret place upon the earth, upon the heavens, actually, because we are seated with Him in righteousness. When we trust in Him, God sees us as seated in the heavenly places. That's why it says He will lift me up and put me on a rock. God never says there's not going to be a trouble, but that He will do these things. It's not something that we have to fight and we have to do ourselves. But He is going to do it. And then there's this one future event that's going to really happen. It's going to be a day like no other day that has ever fallen upon the face of the earth. And that's the day that God's wrath is going to be poured out upon the earth. Even the angels talked about in the book of Revelation will cry out and say, "Woe to those who dwell upon the earth. Woe, woe, because the wrath of God is being poured out." Now, the wrath of God was poured out one time upon Christ. But finally, He's saying, enough is enough. I have given you opportunity. I have given you the opportunity of grace and favor so that you can have your sins washed away, so that you can be My child, so that you can enter into the place, the Holy of Holies, even to the Holy of Holy places in heaven, which you can do right now, by the way, through prayer. When you boldly go to the throne of grace, know that you are addressing God Himself in that secret holy place. You're talking to the Father, and you have that privilege because Christ died for you. But He's going to say one of these days, and we don't know when, but folks, according to the news and the things I'm reading, it is just going right down the book of the Revelation. Boom, 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 boom. And it looks like we're headed for that day of reckoning. Granted, Granted, God can change this whenever He wants to. By the intercession of His people, He could grant a revival and a turning away, because even the city of Nineveh, when Jonah walked through and started telling the people to repent, God had already said, I'm going to bring judgment on them. I'm going to bring judgment on Nineveh. But when Jonah went through and said, repent, God is going to bring judgment upon you, they actually turned from their wicked ways. And when they did, God said, okay, I'm not going to do it because you have repented. You have sought me, you have repented, and I will have mercy upon you. There is the possibility at any moment that a large group of people may turn from their wicked ways, not talking just about the church, because a lot of the church is following in wicked ways, but people all across the world could turn and say, forgive us, we've done wrong. Now granted, eventually that city of Nineveh actually turned away from God again, but that wrath of God can be put on hold anytime there is enough people who repent of their sins and seek Him for mercy and grace. But that day is coming, and on that day, when it's really the wrath of God, not just the problems of this world, but when God starts to pour His wrath out, what we're taught, the most literal interpretation of Scripture, is that He will take His children off of the earth, put them in that secret place, in the Holy of Holies of heaven itself. He will protect them there while His wrath is poured out upon the face of the earth, and the judgment will come to these people. There is going to be a day of trouble in our lives, but there's going to be a worse day of trouble. But no matter the degree of the trouble, we are the ones who are blessed by God, and we're going to be protected when we call upon Him and trust in Him. Now in Psalm also, this is the one I'm going to read if you'd like to look it up. Psalm 41, or the 41st Psalm. Psalm 41 verse 1 through 4. How blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in the day of trouble. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive, and he shall be called blessed upon the earth. Do not give him over to the desires of his enemy. The Lord will sustain him upon his sick bed, in his illness. You restore him to health. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. We have here a person that's saying, in that day, if you have remembered the helpless, if you remembered the poor, if you've been kind and generous, God says that's going to influence me in certain specific ways. It says it's going to happen while we are on the earth. Not all the blessings of God are in the sweet by and by, you know, pie and sky stuff, blue skies and all. It's not all out there in the future. There are events, there are blessings that God gives to us while we're here on the earth. It's not a matter of we're buying God's goodwill or good pleasure by helping the poor. But He says, when this happens, that we are demonstrating Christ-like character and we are touching the lives of the people. And He said, that won't be forgotten. You will be blessed. There's another place where it says in Scripture, if you give a cup of water in the name of a prophet, you will receive the prophet's reward. Whatever that, whoever or whatever the prophet received, you also shall receive the equivalent, because the prophet of God said, give this, and you did. So you're receiving instructions from God. But there is also the future that's to be considered in this. Paul actually, through the Holy Spirit, Paul says that we are to build not with wood, hay, and stubble, not with cheap stuff, but with gold and silvers and jewels, because there's coming a day when all the works, even our works as Christians, will be tested. Our works will be tested also. And we can build with some pretty crummy material, and it will be done away with. But the things that are of value will be lasting, gold, silver, and jewels. Of course, that's metaphorically speaking. And part of this being generous to those who are helpless, and in other places, blessing our enemies, those are the gold and the silver and the jewels that God is talking about. And so everything isn't just heavenly, but there is that component, but there is also the earthly component. Right here, right now, He will be with us and He will hear our prayers. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, call upon me in the day of trouble, I shall rescue you, and you will honor me. I shall rescue you. Call upon Him in the day of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will honor me. A lot of times, people I know get in trouble, and they never go to God. It's just, I am here by myself. I have to work through this all by myself. Even Christians I know say, well, God placed me here on the earth. He's forgiven me of my sins. But He expects me. They always say, God gave me a brain and I'm supposed to use it. So I should be able to figure this all out. And I should. God gave you a brain to listen to what His Word says. And His Word says, call on me in the day of trouble and I will hear you and I shall rescue you. Trust in me. Rest in me. Trust in what Christ did and I'll be there for you. Call upon me. And do not let anyone discourage you. Don't let somebody, you know, so you're having a bad day. And I don't know what degree of a bad day you're having, but say you're just having a bad day, and it's a troubled day for you. It's a real major trouble. And people walk up and they say, oh, you think you've got troubles? Well, let me tell you. Well, they're not in your shoes. We each one have different areas that push our buttons. There's just certain things that cause us more grief and more trouble, and yet somebody that's the neighbor could walk through that and not bat an eye because it doesn't bother them. They weren't raised like we were. They weren't in the families that we raised. They weren't in the classes that we was raised in. They didn't have the negative impact of the world upon them that we had. Do not let somebody discourage you or diminish the trouble that you have and say, well, I guess it's not really a trouble. I'm not going to bother God with it. You are unique. Whatever it is that troubles you, God will hear you and He will answer your prayers. Some people, it just rolls off like water off a duck's back. That's just the way it is. Whew, they have no problems in those areas. But when you, and only you know, when you're having that day of trouble, and when you have it, go to God in prayer. Listen to what He also says in Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who take refuge in Him. God knows those who take refuge in Him, and He is good. He's not out there to hang you, twisting in the wind. He's not out there to let you get buffeted and beat up. God knows His own, and He is there for you. But you need to call on Him and then say, I trust you. Does it not say, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. He knows what's going on in your life, and He cares about it. And the word cast doesn't mean throw it like it's an easy, like lobbing a softball or something. The word actually means there's a burden on you, a heavy burden, and it's actually roll it off your shoulders, roll it off your back, whatever that heavy burden is, roll it off yourself and roll it on to Him. He can carry it. He's already paid the price for all the problems we've got. And He says, roll those heavy things off. And only you know what is heavy in your life. The Lord knows you. The Lord knows you. And if you take refuge in Him, but it's a choice that you have to make. We all take, if you're a born-again Christian, you've all taken refuge in Him for your salvation. But He's also encouraging us to take refuge in Him for all the other troubles that come into our life. It's not just a matter of salvation, of eternal life. It's a matter of day-to-day living. Roll those things off and trust Him to take care of them. And some of our days are days, plural. Day after day after day, and keep rolling it off, saying, you'll have to take care of this day. You'll have to take care of this, God. You've got to do it. I'm trusting you, and keep rolling it off until one day your deliverance will come. And while you will never want to go through that again, I've had some of those, you know, I'll never do that again. And yet, God has turned those things into events in my life that were good for me, that caused me to grow up, gave me wisdom, gave me insight, and also gave me empathy for other people. So even our bad times, God will turn into good. Psalm 86 verse 7, in the day of my trouble, I shall call upon you, for you will answer. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of I shall call upon you. It's a promise. I shall call upon you, for you will answer. When you're having one of those days, go to God, roll it off, and say, I'm trusting you. You don't lie. You're not a God who lies. You've made promises to me, and I'm trusting you to keep your word. And here's my problem. Now I'm going to go on with my life best I can, and I want you there with me all the way. And I want you to deal with these problems as I come to it. You've chosen, or you have been chosen, before the foundations of the world. And that's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. And it's again in 2 Timothy, first chapter 1, verse 9. And the reason I say that is, don't let those days of trouble come upon you because of your past. You say, well, you don't know what I've done, Doyle. And people will say, I should have said this a couple of weeks ago. Someone asked in Sunday school, it was one of the teachers, said, what can we do to show the love of God? One of the best things we can do is not grudge up somebody's past. When they have sought and asked forgiveness of the Lord, I don't care what they do. If God's not going to bring it up, then who am I to trash talk this person that's made a profession of faith? Don't do that. They're having enough problems dealing with that, and that is what drove them to the Lord. So don't trash talk somebody else. But just because you say, this is the earlier part of my life, and it wasn't a good life. I want to tell you something right now. There is an earlier part in your life. You see, Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And in the Hebrew, He said, I am the Aleph and the Tav. Some people on Sunday nights understand that a little better. Alpha is the first letter of the alphabet. Omega is the last letter. Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the last letter is Tav. If you look at it in the old Hebrew, the first letter is an ox, the sacrificial lamb, or the bull, the sacrificial lamb. And literally, the Tav is a cross. Jesus is saying, I am the sacrificial lamb before the foundation of the world, and I will go to the cross for you, the very last. I am there for you from the beginning to the end. And when we say, you don't know how my life started, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ said, before you were even conceived, before you were conceived, I knew that you were going to be one of the chosen. He is the beginning. Don't let somebody trash you for what you did from the time you was a kid to the time you came to the Lord, because in the mind of God, He knew you. And that means He had a personal relationship with you before you were even a person. He said, I know everything. And while that person has free will, I know that eventually, by their free choice, they are going to choose after me. They're going to choose to follow Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, because of that, I have a personal relationship with you. He is your beginning before you even started. And also, He is the ending. Don't let anyone try to tell you how you're going to end up in this life. If you're a Christian, I will be glad to share with you what God says is going to happen. You are going to end up in the throne room of God, praising and thanking Him because He rescued you from your life of sin, and He restored you to perfect fellowship through Jesus Christ. If a doctor comes to you and says, here is some bad news for you, do not think that that is the last word in your life concerning that subject. Jesus has the last word. He has the Omega. He has the Tav of your life. He is right there for you from the beginning to the end, and only He knows what your true beginnings were like and understands what you went through. And He is also the one that will decide what and when and all the rest of your life. Do not let somebody crush you because you think they've got the last word. Only Jesus has the last word concerning you. All of this is because some days we've got trouble. We've just got trouble. And I'm saying this to encourage you. No matter how bad it gets, Jesus Christ is there for you. On an individual level, on a very individual, personal level, only you know how deep the hurt is or how bad the problem is. And He says, I'm still here with you, and I am for you, and I'm going to walk with you all the way through this. And that scripture we've been reading on the announcements about He will make our paths smooth, a lot of people think that that is like John the Baptist saying, make the paths smooth for the way of the Lord. Pull the mountains down and fill the valleys, for He's coming, so He'll have a smooth trip. But that scripture actually refers to what God's going to do for us. He said, trust in Me, I'm going to give you a smoothed out trip. And the brass doors refer to, brass is always judgment in the scripture. Those brass doors, those judgment doors that people are slamming in your face, that the devil is slamming in your face saying, you've been judged and you're shut out. He says, I'll cut through those brass doors and I'll open them up. And at that time, the strongest thing they had was iron. He said, even the strongest things, I will cut through them for you. If you call on me in the day of your trouble, and I will hide you in the secret place, I will push those doors open. I will cut them open. I will cut down the iron, the strongest things that are against you. I will open up a way. You keep following after me, and I will make good my promises. Because there was a day of trouble here on this earth about 2,000 years ago. And that trouble was caused because of our failure as a human race. And all that trouble and all that judgment and all that anger that people say, God's out to get you. Well, when you trusted in Christ, God says, I'm reconciled. Christ has reconciled you to me. We are no longer in conflict. We are now friends. We're friends. We're family. I am there for you because of Jesus Christ. But all that trouble and all that judgment was put upon Jesus Christ. And when we called upon Him, He forgave us. That's very, very generous. That's very over-the-top gracious and something we'll probably not really understand. Even when we get to heaven and He reveals the truth of this to us, we'll probably not completely grasp it because it's so awesome and so marvelous. And yet on that day, we will know on a personal level what He did for us on a very personal level, and other people might not understand. But that's not for them to understand. It's for us. He's going to do things for us on a very personal level. And as a demonstration of faith, He told us to partake of communion. And as oft as we do this, we're to realize the sacrifice that He made and we're to trust in Him. And this is the way of refreshing in our minds what He has accomplished for us. So at this time, would the elders please come forward? By the way, this is an open communion church. That just means if you're a Christian and you want to partake, it's here for you. Feel free. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, He broke it and gave it to the disciples, and He said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise You because we know that You suffered and Your body was broken. But Father, we don't understand all of it. We weren't there to see it, and we didn't experience it. But we do appreciate what was accomplished. Bless You, God, King of the universe, because You're able to make bread spring up out of the earth, and You're able to make Jesus Christ rise from the dead. All glory and honor to You. In His name we pray, and thank You. Amen. And when He had taken a cup and given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is the body, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." Shall we pray? Father, we realize that this is a representation of the blood of Jesus Christ, and that is what our covenant is written in. Glory and honor to You for the washing away of our sins. Though they were scarlet, now they're as white as wool. And this is what gives us permission to enter into the mercy seat and ask for Your protection in the day of our troubles. We also ask right now that You would be with the Payne family, that if possible, please intercede in this situation with Michaela and bless her and be with her. But Father, also be with the family. Father, help us to be encouraged by what You've done. Help us to experience Your grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.